Nothing on the providence I know. No longer bound to things of wood and stone. When all I had to offer was my worst, you saw my heavy heart and loved me first. Your beauty staring down my brokenness, you chose to throw your heart into the mess. Compassion crashing down upon my bed. You were there all this time, like a river running through my failure. You carried me all. Now my heart cries hallelujah. If ever now in the wonder of your grace, a thousand times a thousand years my soul will say, grace. You saw the crushing weight my flesh deserved. Forgiveness in the dirt. And one by one, the stones fell where they lay. As one by one, my accusers walked away. With nothing left to throw, they made a cross. And no one.
Mother's Day to all the mothers of Ascend Church. And for the rest of us, do we have any thankful, grateful people in the house this morning? People who have a testimony, who've been delivered from something, who've been changed, who've been lifted up and called according to His name. Here we go.
Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. And I tried with all my might, I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, this bag of bones. And just when I ran out of road, I met a man I didn't know, and he told me Master, I thank the Savior, because He healed my heart, changed my name, forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here we go.
I cannot deny what I see, got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So long to my old friends, burden and bitterness. You can just keep it moving.
You ain't welcome here.
From now till I walk the streets of gold, I'll sing of how You saved my soul. Wayward son has found his way back. Oh, He picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because He healed my heart, changed my name, forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God.
Here we go.
Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am.
Come on, help me.
Sing. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free.
Hell lost another one.
I am free.
I'm free.
I am free.
Hell lost another one.
I am free.
I'm free.
I am free. I am free.
Hell lost another one.
I am free.
I'm free.
I am free. Because He picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. Because He healed my heart, changed my name, forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God.
If He did it for me, He can do it for you. If He did it for me, yes He can. Come on.
Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of.
He's the resurrection and the life. So get up,
get up out of that grave.
Come on, say,
get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave.
Come on,
say, get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave.
Come on, say,
get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave.
Come on.
Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up,
get up out of that grave. Because he picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart, changed my name, forever free. I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God.
Somebody shout out hallelujah.
Yeah.
Lord, we bless you this morning.
Yes, God.
We thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you for the plans you have for us.
Yes, God. Turn it in your faith. Watch him work it for your good. Cause he's not done with what he started. He's not done until it's good. So let him turn it in your faith.
Future.
time is built on swift transition. Nothing on earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Here we go.
God of Abraham, you're the God of covenant, faithful promises. Time and time again, you have proven to do just what you said. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast. And let my heart learn when you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting sun, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me.
When the seasons change, remain the same. Yeah. Here we go.
God, from age to age, though the earth may pass away, word remains the same.
Yeah. Your history can prove there's nothing you can't do. You're faithful and true.
Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I will
come to bear. Great is your faithfulness to me.
we thank you today that you are the faithful one. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you that you are, Lord, you are faithful to fulfill every promise that you have made. Have you said it and will you not do it? Have you spoken it and will you not make it good? Lord, you're not a man that you should lie. We thank you that you are faithful. We thank you, Lord, that we can put our trust in you. And Jesus, we do. We trust you. We thank you that you take care of us. You're our healer. You're our deliverer. You're our provider. You're our protector. You're the one who guides us. You are our Savior. Lord, we put our trust in you. And everybody shout it out, amen. Come on, give the Lord a big hand of praise today. Give him praise. Give him praise. We praise you, Lord. And we worship you. We worship you. Amen. Great is your faithfulness. Say it. Great is your faithfulness to me, Lord. Turn to someone and tell them you're glad to see them today. Praise the Lord. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm going to try that one more time because I know you can do better than that. Good morning, everybody. Glad to be in church today. Glad to be in God's house today. How about you? Praise the Lord. Well, we are so glad that you're here this morning. I want to welcome you. I want to welcome all those who are joining us online. You may be watching this on Facebook. We're so glad that you are. Please go ahead and let us know where you're watching from in the comments section. Go ahead and share this on Facebook. You may be watching us on YouTube or on our app or on our website at ascendchurch.us. Wherever you're watching from, we're glad that you joined us today. And I want you to know, I believe the Lord is really going to speak to you today. The Lord is really going to minister to you today. We've got a theme. Our theme for today is that God is more than able. He is more than able. Say, He is more than able. I don't know what you're facing, but I can tell you right now, God is more than able to solve that, to deliver you, to provide for you, to heal you. Whatever it is, He is more than able. Shout it out. He's more than able. We've got faith rising up in here today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's Mother's Day, and we want to celebrate and honor all of our mothers today. We're very thankful. Aren't you thankful for your mother? We sure should be. So I want to ask all the mothers, would you mind standing up where you are? We want to recognize you. We want to pray over you. We want to celebrate you. Let all the moms stand up for us. Give them a big round of applause, a big round of applause. Amen. Thank God for the moms, right? Amen. We love you. And I just want to mention that all the moms, we have a gift for you as you leave today. Make sure we have a gift we want to bless you with. All the ladies, okay, it's all the ladies. I want to pray for you. Why don't you stretch your hand toward all the mothers today? Father, we thank you so much for all that our mothers have done in our life. Your word says that we should honor our father and our mother. And we do that, Lord. We are thankful for them. And I pray for every mother today, Lord. Only you know the sacrifices that they make, the things that they do for their family. I pray that you will bless them, strengthen them, fill them with your peace. I pray that you would grant them the desire of their heart. I pray, Father, you'd provide every need in their life. I thank you that their children rise up and call them blessed. I thank you, Father, that they are raising up mighty ones in the land. And I just thank you for your hand of blessing upon every mother, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you, moms. We love you, and I sure hope that you get spoiled today. I hope you get spoiled today. You deserve to be. Like a friend of mine yesterday, I saw he posted on social media, Instagram, a friend of mine, and he said, it's Mother's Day. Moms, you know, this was yesterday. Make sure that you clean the house and wash all the clothes so you can have a day off tomorrow. I'm sure the moms love that one. Wouldn't be Mother's Day without us. It's all about me, right? Praise the Lord. Well, my wife is preaching today, and so that's why I am doing what she usually does. She usually does the welcome and does a wonderful job of it. I'm very blessed to have such a wonderful, godly wife and mother and grandmother. So anyway, let me just get on. We do want to welcome any new guests that we have. We're always glad to have new people join us at Ascend Church, aren't we? And so if it's your first time here today, we have a gift we want to give you. I want to ask you, please just wave your hand at me so we can welcome you today. Just wave at me if you're a first-time guest. Lewis, God bless you. Welcome. If you're a first-time guest, wave at me. We're glad you're here. The ushers have given you a gift bag, and inside that bag there is a card. It says on it, guest card. We ask if you would please fill the card out. I would love to contact you. I would love to just find out if you enjoyed the service, if there's anything I can do to pray for you. So if you fill that card out, put it in the offering. In a few minutes, the offering bucket's going to come by. Put that card in the offering bucket, and we really appreciate that. Also, we have a register that will go by today. We ask you, please help us out. Fill in your name on that register. It helps us to know who's here, who's not here. It helps us to be able to pastor, do a better job of looking after you. Amen. Also, if you don't receive our weekly text, every week we send out a text. And if you'd like to receive it, stay in touch. We'll let you know what's happening. All you have to do is text the word ASCEND to 561-745-5404. That'll automatically join you, and you will receive our text every week that go out. Amen. And then there's different ways. I think I already mentioned that you can watch the services. We have our app. You can watch past services. Videos are all loaded. I think there's 200 sermons on our app. It's a free app. And then, of course, you can watch the live stream on our website, ascendchurch.us. You can watch it on our YouTube channel. If you haven't yet subscribed to our YouTube channel, please do that. We sure would appreciate that. And you can also watch it on Facebook. There's the different ways you can watch the service today. Thank God for technology. Amen. And then don't forget, what is our purpose of our church? We have four main purposes. Can anyone remember what they are? You should know them by now. Our purpose is to help people to know God. Secondly, to find freedom. One of the ways you find freedom is by joining one of our connect groups. That's a great way to find freedom. And then discover your purpose and make a difference in this world. That's what we're all about. Amen. So I'm going to be, we're going to continue worshiping the Lord with our giving today. Because when Pastor Jill gets up here, then we don't know anything could happen. I know she's going to be ministering to people. She's going to be praying for people. I just knew that the Lord wanted her to minister today. And so whatever it is you need, trust God that you're going to receive. He is more than able. Can you say amen? As we get ready to give, the Lord put this scripture on my heart, going along with our theme of God is more than able. I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 6. I'm reading from the Living Bible. And it says it like this. It says, remember this, if you give little, you will get little. A farmer who plants just a few seeds will only get a small crop. But if he plants much, he will reap much. Everyone must make up his own mind as to how much he should give. Don't force anyone to give more than he really wants to, for cheerful givers are the ones that God prizes. God is able, say God is able, God is able to make it up to you by giving you everything that you need and more, so that there will not only be enough for your needs, but plenty, say plenty, plenty left over to give joyfully to others. Now, the Passion Bible says that God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough of everything. Every moment and in every way, He will make you to overflow with abundance. That's what God wants for you. God wants you and I to overflow with abundance. He wants us to experience more than enough, because that's who He is. He's El Shaddai. That means the God who is more than enough. God is not just able. He is more than able. He's not just enough. He's more than enough. Say, thank you, Lord, that you make me to overflow with abundance. God is ready to pour out His grace that you overflow with abundance. The New International Version says God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things and at all times, having all you need, you will abound to every good work. God is able to bless you abundantly. In verse 9, it is as the scriptures say, the godly man gives generously. The godly woman gives generously. His deeds will be an honor to him for forever. And then if you read that from the Passion Bible, it says, just as the scriptures say about the one who trusts in him, because he has sown extravagantly, his generous deeds will never be forgotten. It talks about sowing extravagantly, that the godly give generously. And then verse 10, for God who gives seed to the farmer to plant and later on good crops to harvest and eat, he will give you more and more seed to plant, and he will make it grow so that you can give away more and more fruit from your harvest. Is anyone getting a theme here? God says when you give, he will increase what you give so that you're able to give more. And then as you give more, he will increase that so that you can give more. You'll have plenty for yourself. You'll have more than enough. You'll be overflowing with abundance, and you'll be able to give and be a blessing. That's God's will for us. It says, yes, go back to verse 11. Yes, God will give you much more so that you can give away much. Say, God wants to give me much more than I have so that I can give more. Go to the next verse for me. Thank you, Michelle. The Passion Translation says, this generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant toward you. First, he supplies every need plus more. Then he multiplies the seed as you sow it, so that the harvest of your generosity will grow. You will be abundantly enriched as you give generously on every occasion. So the Bible, what this is telling us is that God is the one who gives us seed. He supplies the seed. Then when you sow that seed, he multiplies what you sow so that you have more, you're able to give and sow more in the future. That's God's will for you. Amen. The Bible calls giving sowing. Because some people, when they think about giving, they think like giving to charity. You know, they do it out of the goodness of their heart. They don't expect anything back. When it comes to God, let me tell you, your giving is sowing. It's actually investing in your future. Because God gives you the seed to sow. Then when you sow it, when you give, He multiplies what you give back to you so that you are able to give more the next time. That's what God wants for every one of us. But can I tell you, you will never see the multiplication if you are not willing to sow the seed. It's a divine law of sowing and reaping. You can never outgive God. Whatever you sow, the Bible says, He will multiply much more back to you. And God's got 1,000 ways of doing it. You could sow an extravagant, generous seed today, and tomorrow you could go to work and find out you got a raise. You got a raise, or you got a promotion, or a door opened for you to get a better job, earning much more. That's happened to me many times. But I can tell you now, God is faithful. Amen. How many believe this today? How many receive this today? How many tithers do we have in the house today? Wave your, all the tithers and givers, wave your hand at me if you're a tither and a giver. Praise the Lord. Well, as you know, there are various ways that you can give at Ascend Church. If you're here in the service, there's an envelope in the seat back right in front of you. You can use that envelope. You can give by check. You can give by card. You can give by cash. You can give PayPal, Cash App. You can give by text. You can give online at ascendchurch.us. You can give by Zelle. You can give by Cash App. Oh, Cash App's up there. There's a lot of different platforms that you can give from. Amen. And I want to thank you for your giving. I want to thank you for your faithful tithing and giving. Because we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be able to be here week after week after week after week if it wasn't for the faithful tithes and offerings that come from God's people. Amen. Let me tell you, the government ain't paying for one penny of this. The government ain't paying for this. God uses His people to support His house. And then as they do that, God blesses them and increases them so that they can give more. That's how it works. Amen. Someone asked me the other week, it was a new person, and he said, Pastor Steve, I heard you talking about tithing. What does that mean? How do I do that? I said, well, when you get whatever money you receive and you get paid, you take the first 10%, and you bring that and you give it here into the house of God. This is God's house. That's what tithing is. You give the first tenth. When you get to the end of the year and you look at your tax return, you should have given 10% of whatever that says. At least. That's if you're honest on your tax returns. If you're not, then you know you should be giving a lot more than that. So praise the Lord. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for every faithful tither and giver in this church. I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful and you will do what you promised. I thank you that you are more than able. And I thank you, Lord, that as we give today, that you are the one who supernaturally multiplies what we give back to us so that we can overflow with abundance. That's your will, Father, that we would have plenty, more than enough, so that we can be a blessing, we can help other people, we can support your kingdom, we can finance the preaching of the gospel. Thank you, Father, for every giver. Thank you for every tither. Thank you for the windows of heaven that are open above them, and that you pour your blessing so much so that they don't have room enough to receive it. Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Say amen. If you're a tither, say thank you, Lord, that the windows of heaven are open above me and you are pouring out such blessing that I don't have room enough to receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hang on. I'm ready to go, man. I've got two things I've got to do because once Pastor Jules starts preaching, and ministering, I don't want to have to come back to this. I have two quick things that I have to do. Hang in there. You're gonna get there. I want to say, first of all, that this week we're having Connect Group. And if you haven't been to a Connect Group, I really want to encourage you to go. We have four different groups. Jerry and Pam, will you stand up for me, Jerry? Jerry and Pam have a group in Jupiter Farms. It's on Tuesday night. It's at 7 p.m. We were there 2 weeks ago. We had such a fantastic time. In fact, my wife was telling me that Shannon, wave at me, Shannon, it was the first time Shannon ever been to a small group. And she thought it would be about an hour, she'd be home. And 3 hours later, she got home and her husband like, I was getting worried about you. I wonder what happened to you. She had a wonderful time at Connect Group, didn't you? And I want to really encourage you, man. If you're in Jupiter, come talk to Jerry. Pam is ministering somewhere today, his wife. But Tuesday night, you want to be there. Then in Stuart, Tom and Anna, stand up for me on Tuesday night. Tom and Anna have a group in Stuart. I'm going to be there on Tuesday night. Looking forward to being there Tuesday. If you live anywhere near Stuart, Port St. Lucie, Hobie Sound, come talk to them. I'd love to see you there on Tuesday night. Then on Wednesday night, Shanta, wave at me, Shanta, and William. Where's William at? Oh, there's William. William and Shanta, they have a group on Wednesday night in West Palm Beach. I'm going to be there Wednesday. So I'm coming Tuesday to Stuart. I'm coming Wednesday to West Palm. If you live anywhere near West Palm, go talk to them. I'd love to see you there. And then finally, Michelle, who's back in the media. Stand up and wave. She's back in the media. You know Michelle. She has a group here on Tuesday night at the church that's for young adults. And if you're a young adult, go talk to her. Join them on Tuesday night. Last thing I have to do is Luis. I want to ask you to come up real fast. Luis is, he's from Portugal. And we have a mutual friend, a Pastor Wade. And he told me about Luis. Luis and his company, which is called BGA, Brave Generation Academy, their company has 40, they call them learning centers in Europe. They have 40 learning centers, and they approached us and said they are interested in leasing some space at our church to set up a BGA, a Brave Generation Academy. So he came up today because he wants to meet and answer questions. If there's anyone here and you have students, then he would like to meet with you, tell you more about it. Okay, so give a big welcome to Luis today.
Thank you so much, Pastor Steve. So yeah, I've actually just arrived in the US about a month ago. I'm really excited to be here. I can already see all of the potential. Thank you for giving me the time to chat, especially today. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. I think it's a good timing to talk about education, where so many things are weird and messy and we don't really know what's happening. With us at BGA, we really like to keep everybody involved, put the student in the center of all decisions, and put him also in the driving seat, because nowadays everything's so passive. And we need to make, you know, our children proactive decision makers and owners of their own path. And we want them to ride their own path. And that's why we create these hubs, small hubs, 30 students, and then two learning coaches that really, really empower them and help them find their passions, their purpose, and, you know, develop all of these tools and skills that are necessary that we hear nowadays, these 21st century skills, but no one is actually giving them the time and the experiences to develop that. And that's where we come in. And we connect them to the community, to people such as ourselves. I already had such good chats today in the morning with people that also welcome students to come to their shops, to their volunteering centers, and give them experiences that will help them figure out who am I and where do I want to go. And that's our job, I think, as educators, to get out of their way, you know, no agendas, help them figure out who they really want to be, and keep everybody involved and empower them to do so. So yeah, we're now in Boca Raton with a hub already. We want to set up new hubs across along the coast, and we're looking to set one here in Jupiter in the church. And I would love to chat to everybody. I'll be outside nearby the door, so please come and let's chat. Thank you so much. Middle and high school, sixth grade onward, upwards. Yeah. Exactly, sixth grade and above. Sixth grade and above. All right. Thank you.
So it's from sixth grade and above. If you're interested, come and talk to Luis. You'll be in the lobby afterwards. Thank you, Luis. Praise the Lord. Stand up with us, everybody. Hallelujah. We're going to sing it out. He's more than able. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? Come on, one more time. Are you ready? Let's give it all we got, man. Let's declare it. He's more than able.
When did I start to forget all of the great things you did? When did I throw away for the impossible? How did I start to believe you weren't sufficient for me? When did I talk myself out of seeing miracles?
What the Lord can do. deny what the Lord can do? Who am I to deny what the Lord can do?
It's easy for you.
I've come a long way, and I've seen how you work. There's so much goodness and grace, much more than I deserve. 'Cause I know who I am, and I can't stay where I'm at. As we've come this far by faith, and I just can't turn back. 'Cause
he's not done with me. With me, yet there's so much more to this story. You're not done with
me. You're not done with me yet.
You're not done with me yet. There's so much more to this story. You're not done.
Just because I haven't seen it in my life. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? Just because it's not on my resume or I don't have it doesn't mean he can't do it. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do?
God is more than able. God is more than able. My God is more than able. Yeah, yeah. What the Lord can do, do.
Come on and set, come on and shout out a praise in this place. Our God is more than able.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Man, if that doesn't stir you up, I don't know what would, right? Praise God. You may be seated. You may be seated. Happy Mother's Day to all you moms. I'm not like my husband. I can't do things without some notes and some pulpit. Just put it right over there. Thank you. Thank you so much. Just get set up for a moment. What a privilege it is to be speaking today. Okay. I appreciate that. I told my husband he's a hard act to follow, but it's not an act, so it's true. No, he just, you have a lot more experience than me. Anyway, I'm so glad to be with you today, and I really felt that the Lord gave me a word for you this morning, and I'm excited to share it with you. It's not going to take me long, and I'm going to give you three good points that are going to, I think, help you in your faith today. Anybody else need their faith encouraged sometimes? I always do. And so, this song, I asked them to sing it right before I spoke because I was praying the other day and I had this song playing in the background. And as I just felt the Holy Spirit just kind of download some things, and I wrote them down, and I came out of the prayer room later, and I said to Pastor Steve, I have a message that goes with that song. And so he said, well, you preaching next week? So I was like, all right, threw myself in there, right there. But this song really moved me, and it made me search my heart. And I wanted us to think about it because, you know, think about that first verse. It says, when did I start to forget all of the great things you did? When did I throw away faith for the impossible? When did I start to believe that you weren't sufficient for me? Why do I talk myself out of seeing miracles? Now, I don't know about you, but this sounds to me like somebody who has seen some results in the past. Like, this sounds to me like someone who God has done some great things in their life. It's not somebody who's ignorant of what God does, but it sounds to me like someone who has believed God for the impossible and seen it happen. Is there anybody like that in this room? I could tell you, we could have a testimony service, and it'll just go over and over, and it'll go way over time, because there are so many testimonies of where we believed God. And yet, after some time has passed, I think each one of us finds ourselves in situations that we look at and we go, what am I going to do now? Right? And so today is a day to encourage your faith. I want to encourage your faith about the fact that God is more than able. And so this man, or this person who wrote this, they've seen miracles, but now they're facing a situation. He needs more faith for another impossible situation. You know, we have things come at us from all different angles. One, you know, it can be family. One minute family is joy, next minute they're tears. You know, and then you've got one thing after another could come at you, and we need faith for those circumstances. So how do I regain my faith for the impossible? And I'm going to give you three short points that I believe will strengthen and encourage your faith like they did mine. Amen? So first of all, let me pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to speak. I thank you for these wonderful people under the sound of my voice. Lord Jesus, you did everything. Yeah, Father, you gave everything to win each and every one of them. Lord Jesus, your heart was all for people. Everywhere you went, you were just drawing people to yourself. And even as the disciples went out, it was all for the love of people and to lead them to Christ and to teach them about what they have. So I thank you that in this Ascend Church this morning, and to those people watching online, I pray that you'd speak through me, that you'd think through my mind, that you'd help me to convey your word in such a way that it builds up your church, that it strengthens each person individually, and that they walk out of here today knowing that you are more than able for their situation, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So the first point is we need a reminder that God is able, of who he is and what he can do, right? And how do we do that? Well, you know, the Bible is filled with stories of what God can do and what he has done. Amen? It's filled from cover to cover. And 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8, which my husband mentioned in the offering time, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Say, God is able. So this Bible tells us over and over what God can do, what he has done, and what he will do. Amen? And we need a reminder this morning. Ephesians 3 verse 20, it says, now to him who is able, say, God is able, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. So we're talking about being reminded of what, come on, we've got to build our faith, so we've got to be reminded of what God actually can do. It's easy to sing those words, God's more than able, but it's kind of like a pie in the sky. It's out there. We've got to make this more personal. And so I love what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 119, verse 27. He said, I will meditate on your wonderful miracles. So that what does meditate means? It means I'm gonna think about your miracles. I'm gonna ponder the miracles of God. So that's gonna lay a good foundation of faith. And so as I said, this Bible, you start from the very beginning. Actually, in the beginning. Okay? In Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, it was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And that is the introduction to who God is and what he can do. That is the beginning. That's it. Begins with a big bang. It's not the Big Bang Theory, but it's a big bang. And that is throughout the Bible. It's throughout the Bible. In the beginning, God just begins with creating. And that's what comes out of him. It's miraculous, right? And it's our introduction to the Almighty God. It's our introduction to the maker of heaven and earth. You know, I look at the sky and the Bible says he rolled out the sky like a canvas. I mean, just rolled it out like a canvas. Like we put a picture up on our wall. He just rolled that sky. This is an introduction. If you look in your Bible, you'll see that God is more than what you could ever imagine. Amen? And so God intervened in the Bible in the course of nature. That's what miracles are, is an intervention in the course of nature. Defying science, defying the natural mind, blowing your mind. God continually did miracles. Not one or two, not a blind man here and a deaf woman there. It was from the beginning. It's full of miracles. And so I'm going to just give us a little reminder here, but I'm always blown away when I read in the book of Exodus the story of Moses. You know, God tells Moses, go to Pharaoh, because God's children had been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And God finds Moses on the backside of the desert, and he says, Moses, go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. And you know, when God speaks something, something's going to happen. But do you know what happens right there? Moses and Aaron go in. They go before Pharaoh. First thing that happens, he lifts his rod. Aaron lifts his rod. The thing turns into a serpent right in front. There's a miracle right there. God starts intervening in the situation. And then from that point, he does 10 incredible miracles. Turns the water, you know, to blood. I won't list them all. There's 10 incredible miracles or 10 plagues. Depends which side of the story you're on, right? To the children of God, they were miracles. But there's incredible displays of God's power. Never forget that. Never forget what God can do. Amen? And so Pharaoh has such a hard heart. And he, you know, he's kind of shaken a little bit, but he still goes like, no, I'm not letting them go. This is my labor force. This is my people. You know, what am I going to do without them? But the final miracle or plague that came was when the angel of death passed through the land. And God warned the Israelites. He said to them, put the blood on your doorposts. The blood on your doorposts, when the angel of death passes over, he'll pass right over you. He won't even touch you. But that was the final straw for Pharaoh, because when the angel of death touched those houses that night, every firstborn died, including Pharaoh's. And he said, that's it. You're out of here. Go. I don't want to see you. Get out of here. But you know that the crazy part is that God said to them, when that happens, go to your neighbor and say to him, give me all your silver and gold and your valuables. And so they did. And so another miracle, these people who had been slaves for 400 years, I mean, they'd been born into slavery, walk out of Egypt, it says, with the wealth of Egypt in their hands. Never underestimate what God can do. Come on, this is a God. This is not just, this is for his children. He will intervene in the, nobody in their natural mind. Your neighbor knocks on your door. Can I have all your valuables? You're like, no. $10, that's it. But this was God intervening. And he was paying his people back and he was providing for them. Just like he took those kings when Jesus was born and he said, there's a king born over there. Take him some treasures. And they came all the way from the east and they laid these treasures down at Jesus. That's what God does. He does miraculous things. Amen. And so it says in Exodus 12, verse 36, thus they plundered the Egyptians. These people that were probably weary and they've been overworked. Pharaoh just kept making their work harder and harder. They had to even make the bricks. They couldn't even, you know, everything was getting harder for them. But they plundered the Egyptians. And that's the work of God in their lives, right? And so they walk out of there. And no sooner have they walked out, but Pharaoh has a change of heart. He's like, oh, what have I done? What have I done? And he gathers his whole army and all these chariots, and he chases after them. And Moses and the children of God are moving through this desert, and they come to a dead end, a supposed dead end. Anybody ever been at a supposed dead end? Come on, I want to tell you that God's more than able to get you past dead ends, right? They come to the Red Sea, and Moses raises up his staff, and God causes that Red Sea to part. In fact, it says in one translation that the sea congealed. So it's like jello, probably all the little fish inside. They're like, what just happened? But it congealed for long enough that 2 million plus people walked through there on dry land. That's the hand of God. That's the hand of God. Never forget that. I'm giving us a little reminder here of the God that we serve. How did I come to forget? How did I think that you can't do the impossible? How did I forget that you are the God of miracles? Amen? And so Pharaoh chases after them. But I love this story. I was reading my Bible. I was reading in the Psalms, and I just laughed at this. I think David wrote it, but it's Psalm 114. It says, when the Israelites escaped Egypt, when the family of Jacob left that foreign land, the land of Judah became God's sanctuary, and Israel became his kingdom. The Red Sea saw them coming and hurried out of their way. The water of Jordan turned away. The mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. What's wrong, Red Sea? What made you hurry out of the way? What happened, Jordan River, that you turned away? Why mountains did you skip like rams? Why hills like lambs? Tremble, O earth, at the presence of God. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the God of Jacob. He turned the rock into a pool of water, and water flowed from a solid rock. I'll tell you what happened. David's writing. He's like, Red Sea, what happened? What happened that you just backed off like you did? I'll tell you what happened. He met the God who is more than able. When Almighty God comes and meets with your situation, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. And this is not just a Bible lesson. This is a lesson to you today for what you are facing. That God is more than able for your Red Sea, for your obstacle that stands in your way. Amen? I think I will, Demony. I think I will. And so they pass through the sea, and Pharaoh is still mad as anything, and he chases after them. And the Bible says that as they got out on the other side, the waters, God just reversed it. And the waters closed up, and the entire Egyptian army was drowned in that water. And so God displays his mighty power throughout the pages of the Bible. He leads them with a pillar of fire by night, a cloud by day. He provides manna. I mean, he literally, the Bible says, it rained while they were sleeping at night. Bread would come down from heaven. And when they woke up, it was there waiting for them. And when they complained that they were tired of eating just bread, he just blew in. It says, the Bible says he blew in quail from the sea. How many quail do you think he had to blow in from the sea to feed 2 million plus people every day? Not too much for God. Not too much for God, right? And so he gets water out of a rock. They just touch the rock and water comes out of it. Do you know that their shoes did not even wear out for 40 years? I like a pair of shoes like that. They're never going to make them because they want your shoes to wear out and they want you to buy some more, right? But it says in Deuteronomy 29, verse 5, for 40 years I led you through the wilderness, yet your clothes and your sandals did not wear out. That's amazing. You got to think about it. Where would they have got new clothes, right? So God just took care of everything miraculously. But we just go through a couple of them. He brings down the walls of Jericho. He directs ravens to feed Elijah. I mean, every one of these is impossible. Every one of these goes against nature. Every one of these defies the odds. We're always in these little brains of ours, which are incredible in themselves, but so way below what God can do. We're always trying to reason. How? But God, how could you? But you couldn't do that for me because of this. You couldn't do it for me because of that. Right? But he brings the ravens. He just tells the ravens, go feed that prophet. Go free. There's a famine. He needs food. Go and feed him. He raises the widow's son from the dead. And then after Elijah comes Elisha, and the Bible says he did twice as many miracles. So this thing just starts escalating. And there's miracles. We see Naaman getting healed of leprosy. He says, go dip in that water. He dips in the water, comes out completely healed. Water doesn't... Yes? Oh, I thought you called me. You just said yes. Oh, I thought you said Jill. So Naaman gets healed. Water doesn't... You can go down to Juno Beach and dip 7 times. It heals nothing, right? It does a little bit, but... It is not healing leprosy. That was the hand of God moving. Come on, people. This is our God. This is the same God that we serve. And so when we sing about him being more than able, remind yourself just what he can do, right? And so he raises a Shunammite woman's child from the dead. He causes, there's a big enemy army, and he causes them to hear the sound of chariots and horses, and they get so terrified that they run. There was nothing coming at them. All God did is just give them the sound of an army coming, and he delivers his children. And so he shuts the mouths of lions. I love what King Darius said, because King Darius liked Daniel, and he didn't want to throw him in the den of lions, but he was tricked into it by guys who... didn't want Daniel around. He was a threat to them because he had the ear of the king. Huh? By bureaucrats. There you go. And so I love this because they threw Daniel in the den of lions. But it says in Daniel 6 verse 20, the next morning the king came and he said, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God whom you serve so faithfully able to rescue you from the lions? What do you think Daniel's answer was? God is more than able. He was more than able. Doesn't matter if it's a den of lions that were super hungry because they ate everybody that came in right after him, right? And you think about what he's done. You think about the 3 Hebrew children. The 3 Hebrew children in the fire. I love what it says in Daniel 3. It says, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. Not even like, please don't throw us into the fire. Please, please, that'll save us. No, you could even throw us in the fire, and our God is able. And he will rescue us from your power, your majesty. Your majesty. Very, very politely telling him, you ain't in charge here. You're not the one who's in charge of my future. You're not the one who's in charge of what happens to me. You can throw it at me, but God's the one who's able to get me out of it. Amen? And so reminding ourselves of who he is and what he has done builds an expectancy. Do you feel that this morning? You sense an expectancy. Instead of having a picture of defeat, some hope starts to blossom, right? I find that happens to me. I just sense that hope blossoming, faith rising up in my heart. So that's, I'll take that even further. We need to have a revelation of what Jesus has done. Because that's even going through the Old Testament, and then we go through the Gospels, we see what he's done. But what he's done since he was raised from the dead, come on. You know, this book ends with a revelation. The book of Revelation is a revelation of the risen Christ. And there's nothing but victory. He is the beginning and the end, and it ends with his victory. Amen? And so we have to have a reminder of who he is. Ephesians 1, it says, therefore, I also, Paul's writing to the church, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We should be praying for that. We should pray, God, give us a revelation. That means a fresh understanding of in the knowledge of you, of just who you are and what you can do and what you've done. Amen. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards those who believe. That means you. We believers, right? There's exceeding greatness of power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that's named. It doesn't matter what comes against you. The doctors can call it whatever they want to call it. Every name that is named has bowed its knee to the name of Jesus. Amen. In this, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet, under Jesus' feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Family, when you get a revelation of who Jesus is and what he has won on your behalf, well, he's one on your behalf. You're one step closer to getting God to move in your life, to seeing God meet your needs. Amen. And you might say, well, that's all well and good. That's all well and good. But how does that change my situation? Well, you know what? There are a lot of people that actually believe everything they read in the Bible. They believe these miracles are true. They believe God can do it. They believe God did do it. And yet they're still not seeing their situation changed. So we got to go a little further than that. First one is we've got to have an understanding of what God can do and what he does do. Second of all, we have to have a revelation of who we are in Christ Jesus. Let me say it like this. I think that we are living from the outside in. And we should be living from the inside out. Now, you might say, what do I mean by that? Well, when you know and you perceive what's on the inside of you already, you approach challenges from the outside differently. We're not looking at letting everything come at us from the outside and then what do I do with this now? But we know what's inside of us. So when something comes from the outside, we got a different perspective of how we deal with it, right? I'm talking about your identity. Knowing your identity. You know, if you ever read the story about the prodigal son? Okay, so the prodigal son, he says, you know what? Give me my inheritance. I'll take it now. And he goes and he just blows it. Wrong living. Everything you can think of, he did it. Blew all his money. He finally gets to the place where he's takes a job feeding pigs. That sounds like a little step down on the ladder, right? And then he gets in such a desperate position that he actually is contemplating eating the pig slop. That's where he's at. And then he comes to himself and he's like, what am I doing? I'm going to go back to my father. And he goes back, and we know that there's a whole message in the father receiving him back. But he gets back and he says, Father, I've been blown all my money on unrighteous living. If you would just take me back in your house as a servant, if you just give me a job and I'll do something for you, I'll be happy with that. And the father says, are you kidding me? He brings out a robe and he puts it on him. He brings out a ring and he puts it on him. And he says, you're not a servant. You are my son. That's your identity. Don't we do that sometimes? Don't we think, you know what, I've blown it. I messed up. I can't expect big things from God. You are his child. Come on, it's Mother's Day. We all know what we'll do. You, and God's so way above that. There's nothing you could do that takes away your identity in him. You are his child. Amen? And when you know and perceive what's on the inside of you already, you just approach those challenges differently. So knowing our identity in Christ is key. And I apologize to everyone. Miguel, good luck keeping up with me there. Pastor Steve's like line upon word. But I can't be you. So knowing your identity in Christ is key. We've got to know God can. We know he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you've got to know what he's done on the inside of you. You've got to know who you are in Christ. You know, Kenneth Hagin, who Pastor Steve and I graduated from Rhema Bible Training Center, we listened to Kenneth Hagin's teachings through the year. I must have listened to 5 of his messages this week. Whenever I'm in the car, I put on YouTube. And he's gone to heaven years ago, but you feed yourself with the word of God, it does something to you, right? But he said this, and something I was listening to this week, and I loved it. He said he was often asked about studying the Bible. And, you know, people are like, where do I start? What's most important? And he says that as a Christian, we should primarily read through the New Testament. And then even above that, we should primarily read through the epistles, which are the letters, which starts from the book of Romans, right? The letters to the churches, because those are letters that are written to believers after Jesus rose from the dead. And so that's really this dispensation. All these other things we read, God dealt with the Old Testament believers differently to how he deals with us. It applies to us, but there's more to it than that. And so Kenneth Hagin says, when you read, he said, primarily read through the epistles, and when you read them, look for the statements in him, in whom, in Christ, through Christ, and then underline those. And then he says, take those scriptures and meditate on them, and begin to say them over your life. Because everything that says in him, it means that when you are in him, when you've given your life to him, this belongs to you. And so you got to start speaking it out of your mouth. And so you might look at yourself and you say, it says it in there, but my life doesn't look like that. It doesn't look like that. So this is how we do it. There's things that tell you who you are in Christ and what you can do in Christ. And as far as God's concerned, it's already a done deal. You know, some of us, we're all begging God, please do this, please. And he's like, haven't you read the Bible? Haven't you read what I've done? Think about your salvation. When did God pay the price for once and for all for our salvation? When did he do it? At the cross. So that's more than 2,000 years ago. You know, God's not still working on our salvation. That salvation is done, signed, sealed, legally belongs to us. So when do I actually get saved? It's when I read that scripture, when I hear that verse, when I believe it, and when I say, I believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, and I accept him, I confess with my mouth, he's my Lord. That's when salvation becomes a reality to you. So that's like with everything in the Bible, everything that's written there. You say, yeah, I know it says that, but I don't have enough money. I don't have. I'm sick. No, read what it says, and you've got to take it the way you took your salvation. Amen? We need to say, this is mine. This is who I am. This is what I have. And then it becomes a reality to us. So I'm going to take a couple of these and go through them with us. So 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, say in Christ. So we're in Christ, right? He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So say this. Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My standing with God is secure. So you know what? When the devil comes at you with condemnation, you know who you are in Christ. So you say that, right? Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Confessors say, there's no condemnation towards me because I'm in Christ. Amen. Romans 5:17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So say this, say, because I have abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, I reign in life through Christ Jesus. This is establishing your identity. This is receiving everything God has for you. Colossians 1 verse 13. He who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Say this, say, God has delivered us. He has translated us into his kingdom. That means, you know, this is what I'm talking to you about today, is your position in Christ. You have a position in Christ. And we have already, the Bible says, just like salvation's all taken care of, everything concerned with the devil and his attacks, it's been dealt with. We have been delivered from the power of darkness, the kingdom of darkness. And we're in the kingdom of God's dear son, right? And so I'm now from the inside out, I'm dealing with the situations that come at me. 1 John 4 verse 4 says, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Say this today. Say, because I am in Christ, the greater one lives within me. He's greater than the devil. He's greater than disease. He's greater than the circumstances, and he lives in me. Come on, that just stirs your identity. Amen. And so I'm going to skip a couple of these because for the sake of time, but I want to say to us that we need to have that inside God, inside mindedness. So we know that God is able. The first thing, we've got to remind ourselves of who he is and what he can do. The second thing, we've got to remind ourselves of what we have and who we are in him. I love that the song, remember, this is from that song. The verse goes on. It says, now that I see all that I have, I've got my confidence back. I put my trust in the one who still does miracles. So we got to have, that's talking about faith. Because once I see all that I have, something comes into me that gives me confidence that I can overcome this. I'm going to beat this. This is falling in front of me. Amen. And so meditating on the word of God, meditating on who God is and what he does, and knowing, having a fresh revelation of who you are in Christ, we can boldly sing, God is more than able. But let me tell you this, I'm getting to my last point. Knowing God is able, although a necessary foundation, is still not enough to change your circumstances. And even knowing who you are will not do it alone. And my last point is that faith is the key. And I borrowed Pam's key. I was like, send me your key, Pam. Faith is the key. Don't forget that. I was reading my Bible on September 14th, and I was reading in the book of Romans. I was reading about, if you know the book of Romans, Romans 4 talks all about the faith of Abraham. And God talks about salvation's not by works, it's by faith. But he talks about the faith of Abraham. And I'm going to skip down to verse 16. It says, so God's blessings are given to us by faith as a free gift. We are certain to get them whether or not we follow Jewish customs. If we have faith, like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of us all when it comes to these matters of faith. That is what the scriptures mean when they say that God made Abraham the father of many nations. God will accept people in every nation who trust God as Abraham did. And this promise is from God himself who makes the dead live again and speaks of future events with as much certainty as though they were already past. So when God told Abraham that he would give him a son who would have many descendants and become a great nation, Abraham believed God, even though such a promise just couldn't come to pass. And because his faith was strong, he didn't worry about the fact that he was too old to be a father at the age of 100. It's pretty old. And that Sarah, and his wife at 90, was also much too old to have a baby. But Abraham never doubted. He believed God. For his faith and his trust grew ever stronger, and he praised God for this blessing even before it happened. He was completely sure that God was well able to do anything that he promised. And another translation, New King James, says, being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. So I'm reading this, and my Bible, as you can see, this one is a New Living Translation. We've got various translations, but this particular one is from 1996. And so if you look it up online, they've got an updated New Living Translation, which says it just, they had the words slightly different. But this one, I'm lying on the floor reading this verse, and verse 16 just jumps out at me, because in my Bible it says, so that's why faith is the key. And you know, the Lord just, you can have one statement that's just so profound to you. And I just kept thinking, faith is the key. Faith is the key. And I just kept going over, faith is the key. And I underlined it and drew circles around it and wrote it down in my notepad. Faith is the key. And I kept pondering over that. And then I went into the living room and I was praying. And something happened, and I'll explain it to you. An angel walked into the living room. Now you say, well, how can that happen? Well, read your Bible, right? But let me tell you, there's two different ways. The Bible talks about the discerning of spirits. So there's a way that an open vision, where you see with your natural eyes, we've seen many accounts of it, we see it in the Bible, Jesus walk into the room. They saw Jesus walk. The disciples saw him come through the wall, right? Angel starts walking beside Mary. He looks at him. He looks like a man, but it's an angel from God. So, but then there's also, you can also, in your spirit, you can perceive. So it's either something in the spirit realm. So I perceived, but my, just got chills go over my whole body, just goosebumps over my whole body, and an angel stepped into my room, and I'll tell you what I saw. He walked up to me, and he had a key in his hand. And he put it in my hand, and he said, faith is the key. And then I looked up, and up ahead of me were 4 volts. And he put the key in my hand, and he took that hand, and he put it towards the first volt. And the volt had the word treasures written on it. And as I turned the key in the keyhole, treasures started to fall down into the room. And so to such a degree that the room started to fill up. And it was like there were angels pushing more out until the room started to fill up. And then he took my hand with the key in it, and he pointed it towards the other vault. And so I went to look, and the name written on the vault was spiritual gifts. And so he said, faith is the key. And so I put the key in the lock and I turned it, and all of a sudden, a download of spiritual gifts started. You know, there's spiritual gifts you can read about in all through the New Testament, but you can read in 1 Corinthians 12. There's revelation gifts, words of wisdom, word of knowledge, working of miracles, gifts of healings, supernatural faith, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. There's all kinds of gifts that God has. But he said to me, faith is the key. So I begin to see this download coming. So then the third one he takes me to, I look up and he takes my hand that has the key in it and puts it by the lock, and it says generational blessings. And so I turn the key in the lock, and all of a sudden I see this giftings. So I see our family. I see our Steve and I. I see we got four kids, and we've got thus far we've got 8 grandkids. I see blessings. So I see talents, musical talents. I see callings to ministry. I see giftings. I see special anointings. I just see this coming, not just this one generation. I see 2, I see 3, I see for the generations to come. And then the last one, which I won't spend too much time on, but the last one, he takes my hand with the key and he points towards it, and I was hesitant because it said the nations. And I said, Lord, I don't want to open something that I misuse or I don't use or I let it lay dormant. And he said, this has lain dormant for too long. And so I turned the key, and as I did that, I felt something come on my feet. You know, the Bible says, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means to be willing to go for the gospel, to be willing to go wherever it takes to share the gospel. And so I say I won't say anything about it, but I'll tell you anyway. Something that's happened to me in the past is whenever I have somebody get under, numerous times I've been in like Rodney Howard Brown's meeting, I've been under, whenever there's the anointing of prophecy and they begin to talk about the nations of the world, something happens to my feet. And the one time I held myself in the seat and just let my feet run right where we were, because I was like, no way I'm embarrassing myself around this building. But other people got up and ran. And the anointing came on me. And one time in Cape Town, the same thing happened to me. And I just dropped the microphone and ran around the entire building because there was an anointing for it. So anyway, that has to do with the nations. But you say, what a lovely story, or interesting, or weird, or I don't know about you now, but what does that mean to me? What do I do? Well, I want to tell you that what the Lord told me and the Word of God says, faith is the key. That means you can know that God is more than able. You can know He does miracles. You can even have seen that He does miracles. But if you don't take the key of faith and put it in what God, it doesn't matter what God's promised you. You could have had every prophet in town come over and prophesy over you. If you don't take the key of faith, I could have vaults hanging over my head all my life. If I don't take the key of faith and I don't turn that key of faith, none of that is going to come to pass in my life. Amen? And so what is faith? Simple. If you're in this church, you know what faith is. Simply, faith is believing what God says and saying it with your mouth. So I'll end it with this. This is exactly what I do. And I think about those vaults. There's many more things God has promised us, but to me, those were significant. And I felt like the Lord was telling me, these things are waiting for you, but your faith is the key. So I purposely take my faith regularly, and I say, Father, I'll just take the one concerning treasures. I say, Father, I know that you have laid up treasures for me in heaven. Father, I thank you. I believe your word that as a tither, the windows of heaven are open above me, and you are pouring me out such blessing that there's not room enough to receive. I believe that I'm amply supplied. I believe that you're more than enough. So I believe all of that. And I say with my mouth that every need is met. Every bill is paid. I have more than enough. I can support missions. I can give into every good work. Every person I see that has a need, I can bless them. I activate the promises. I access the promises of God with a key of faith. And so I go on with each one of those. Every time I think of my grandkids or my kids, I say special giftings, talents, calling, intelligence that... Give them an Elon Musk kind of brain. You know what I'm saying? Like, just I speak it out. If you believe God can do these things, he's more than able. Yes, he's more than able. Do you, if you want to see it actually happen in your life, you're going to take that key of faith. Amen? Say, I'm going to take that key of faith, and I'm going to activate the promises of God in my life. Amen? And so I want to remind you that a tiny stone, one small stone, can bring down your giant. You can unlock every promise that God has for you with a key of faith. You're not too young. You're not too old. You haven't done too many bad things. You haven't made too many mistakes. If it's written in the Word of God, it's for you. It's for you. And you can access it. It doesn't matter if nobody in your family believes the way you do. You can access it. I say, it doesn't matter to me whether people around me, I want people around me to get what God has, but I don't want to miss out on what God has. I don't want to miss out on what God has. Amen? So think about the promises of God that he's given you. Anytime you've had a prophetic word, every message you've listened to, every time you've heard what God can do and what he's promised you, think about that and say, you know what? I'm going to lay hold on that. I'm going to lay hold on that because I love the way that song ends. He says, you're not done with me yet. Your story's not over. You know, we were talking like yesterday in the ladies' brunch. We had such a lovely time. But Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I'm the A of your story. I'm the Z of your story. And you just had a little few chapters. I ain't done with you yet. Your story's not over. But it's up to you as to whether you get everything that God has promised you. Amen? Amen. Come on up. We're going to...
Praise the Lord. What a powerful, awesome message, a word from the Lord. So good, wasn't it? So good. I don't think I need to add anything. I just want to emphasize again that in the Word of God, in the Bible, there are more than 7,000 promises.
Right.
And when Pastor Dill talks about the key of faith, if you will believe, you just take one of those promises and you believe it, and then you begin to declare it, confess it over your life, that's what makes it become a reality. You don't just do it one time. I've got promises in the Word of God that I declare every single day over my life. And the more that I do it, the more it happens.
Let's just, if you have a situation in your life that you believe in God, maybe it's for one of your kids, maybe it's for your health, maybe it's financial, maybe it's anxiety or depression, whatever it is, something you're dealing with, let's bring it before the Lord today. And we're gonna activate our faith here. Father, I thank you for every person. I thank you for the anointing of God that's in this room.
Yes.
I thank you there's an anointing of God to break chains off of people. That we declare that today, whatever the situation, every demonic force that has come against them is broken in the name of Jesus. We declare, we believe your word and we speak it out of our mouth. Father, I speak over sickness and over disease. If you've got sickness or disease in your body, lay your hands on your body right where you are. I release the healing power of God to flow into their body. Father, you said that you will take sickness from the midst of us. And so we believe you right now in the name of Jesus. I declare that I am free of sickness. Thank you, Father, that you thank you for your healing power flowing through my body. I am well. Use your key of faith. Speak it over your life. Every one of you that has a need right now, just say, Father, I bring this need to you right now. You know everything I need. I believe your word. You are more than enough. You are more than enough.
More than enough.
So I declare.
I declare.
As of this moment.
As of this moment.
I have everything I need.
I have everything I need.
You are taking care of
it. You're taking care of me.
I have more than enough.
I have more than enough.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Do you want to add anything to that, Ben?
No, but I think you should pray for people afterwards. There's some people that you need to pray for.
Okay.
For healing, for miracles. I'm going to ask Pastor Jill to pray for you as soon as we kind of close the service out. I want you to come for prayer because God's really anointed her, and I've seen the Lord do amazing miracles as she's prayed for people. And so I want her to pray for you. I want her to pray for you, Wolf. I want her to pray for you, Aaron. I spoke to you before the service. If you need a miracle today, today is the day to receive it. God is able. He's more than enough. All you got to do is by faith receive. There's nothing that is too hard for him.
Yeah.
When people would come to Jesus, and they come to Jesus for a miracle, he would ask them, do you believe I'm able to do this?
Right.
Do you believe I'm able to do it? And they would say, yes, Lord. And he would say, be it unto you according to your faith. That's what God is saying to you today. Are you able to believe it? Do you believe God's able to do that which you need? Do you believe it? Well, today, you can receive it through faith. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's stand up together. I'm going to do it right now. Stand up with me. And we'll close in a moment. And then as we do, if you need prayer, Pastor Jill will be here. You come right immediately, and she'll be here to pray for you. But right now, I want you to bow your head for a moment. Father, we just thank you today that you are more than able. We thank you, Lord, that there is nothing that is too hard for you, that all things are possible with you, Lord. All things are possible to him who believes. I just thank you, Father, today for doing miracles in people's lives. I thank you for miracle provision. I thank you for miracle healing. I thank you for miracle deliverance. I thank you for touching people today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we give you alone the praise and the thanks for all that is done. While you have your eyes closed, I just feel compelled today. There are people here. You, if you died today, you would go to hell. And I don't want that. And God doesn't want that. God loved you so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to come to this earth just for you. And the Bible says that if you will believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and if you will confess that he is Lord, you will be saved. The only way to be saved, the only way to go to heaven is by believing and receiving Jesus as Lord of your life. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Steve, I'm not sure where I stand with God today. I'm not sure what would happen to me if I was to die today. Let me tell you, you can be sure. You can know that you know that all is well and all is right between you and God. You can know that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven that is waiting for us. And hell is a real place. And when you die, you either go to heaven or you go to hell. There's no other choice. There's no other option. It's only those two. I want you to go to heaven. Jesus came and gave his life so that you could go to heaven. Not just go to heaven, but that you could live an abundant life on this earth. So I want to pray right now. If there's anyone here this morning and you say, Pastor Steve, I'm not sure where I stand with the Lord. Won't you pray for me? I'm not sure what would happen to me if I had to die today. I hope I'd go to heaven, but I'm not absolutely sure about it. Won't you pray for me? Listen, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come out. But right where you're standing, while we have our eyes closed, If you are not sure where you stand with the Lord, right now, if you say, Pastor Steve, I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that is you, I want you quickly. Just lift your hand up right now. Raise your hand up. I'm looking for your hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in that prayer. Just put it up high. Pastor Steve, pray for me. Include me today. All right. Now listen, every Sunday, I do my job. Every Sunday, I do my job. I do what God's called me to do. I give an opportunity for people to receive Jesus and be saved every single Sunday. Now, they may not receive Him. That's not on me. They're going to stand before God. And one day, listen to me, you will be, when you stand before the Lord, God will remind you of this moment. Did remember when you were in that service at the Ascend Church with Pastor Steve and he gave an opportunity for you to be saved and you didn't receive it? I pray that that wouldn't happen to anybody. But I want you to know I do my job every week. What's your job? Are you doing your job? What's your job? You're right, Pastor Joel. Say, my job is to invite people to bring lost people. Say, my job, I'll just keep going until everyone says it with me. My job, there you go. My job is to bring lost people with me to church. I can tell you right now, I will give them the opportunity to receive Jesus. If you'll bring them, I'm doing my job. Are you doing your job? Bring somebody. You never know. Amen. Father, we just thank you that you are more than able. We thank you, Lord, that you are so good. You are so faithful. Oh, who am I to deny what the Lord can do? Father, we ask you to forgive us if we've ever doubted you for any moment. Forgive us, Lord. Today, we know you're more than able. And Lord, our confidence and our trust is in you. We thank you, Lord, that you're faithful to fulfill every promise you've ever made in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, this week that you're with us, you're guiding us, you're protecting us, you're providing for us. Thank you, Lord, that we do not have to worry. No matter what we face, Lord, we know you're with us. You never leave us. And you're the faithful God, and you're more than able. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, I want you to come right now. Pastor Jill's going to be here to pray. She's going to pray for anyone who's picked prayer. Come right now, and we'll see you next. We'll see you next Sunday, everybody. Have an awesome week, and we'll see you next time. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Give us some music.